Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody,
welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there, man?
I'm doing much better, man. I wasn't feeling well these past couple of days, but I'm feeling a lot better now, man. I'm glad to be on the show. Glad to be with you, and talk sports and entertainment. And everything else, and we're gonna give our thoughts and recap what happened to WrestleMania. You know, we're always gonna keep it real what we thought about each match. Then we'll talk about the March Madness and UNC defeating Gonzaga at the tournament a few days ago, and basically also talk about opening day that just happened this past Sunday. So, you know, we're going to talk about those stuff and we want to thank you for, all of your continued support over the years. So, you know, I just want to thank you all, you know, all the fans who've been listening to the show, you know, since 2009. So, you know, I definitely owe you a debt of gratitude. So, you know, thank you for listening to this latest episode. So,
yeah, guys.
And without further ado, let's talk WrestleMania. Before we go into every match, what was your thoughts on the whole, 19-hour Ultimate Thrill Ride that we've been watching last Sunday?
Man, it went overtime, man. There's a couple of matches that they probably should have had on the pre-show when you think about it, instead of having it on the main show. The SmackDown Women's match probably could have been on the pre-show.
It was originally going to be there, but, people were protesting, about, the women match being there. So that's most likely why.
But yeah, two women's matches.
Yeah, but that's most likely why the Ambrose and Baron Corbin match, which we're going to talk about very soon, that's why that match got kicked to the curb and became a pre-show match with the Andre the Giant Battle Royale Memorial match. So
yeah,
and another thing that was a glaring omission to me, which was the biggest glaring omission, was no SmackDown tag team title match. I mean, the Usos didn't even defend it, which they spoke about at the Talking Smack episode on Tuesday night, which, I mean, come on. Apparently, they're going to defend their title this Tuesday night, so which will be the day after the Superstar Shakeup that's going to go down on Raw. You know, a lot of rumors, AJ...
Mm-hmm.
Might go to Raw, or Gallows and Anderson might go to SmackDown. The major rumor right now is that the club is finally going to be formed. And if AJ goes, then, with Finn Balor there and, Gallows and Anderson, the club that, which basically is the Bullet Club, but they can't say the Bullet Club because they don't have the rights to it. So they can't use the name. There's rumors that they're finally gonna, form that faction that they had, earlier this year, before the brand split last year, I should say.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. As a result of the Back to WrestleMania, the one of the matches that should have been on the main card was the Cruiserweight title between Neville and Austin Aries, and
the King of the Cruiserweights, Neville.
You know, he successfully defended his Cruiserweight title against A Double Austin Aries. And
that was a good match.
Yeah, I think I missed that match. But you know, those guys, you know, they have great chemistry in the ring together, you know, Austin Aries, you know, he's a veteran. He's fought in everywhere, TNA, and you know, a bunch of places, you know. So it would have been nice to see him have his WrestleMania moment in his first ever WrestleMania. An official WrestleMania match, but you know, Neville's proved that he is truly the king of the Cruiserweights ever since he defeated Rick Swann for the Cruiserweight title a few months ago. So, you know, Neville successfully defended his title, you know, which, you know, basically, you know, was the icing on the cake of their, you know, nice rivalry they had, which basically Austin Aries, you know, dealing with an injury, an eye injury, he, you know, he was briefly an announcer and a, you know, a reporter, but, he finally came back as an in-ring competitor, and, you know, him and Neville had a feud, you know, leading up to WrestleMania, where, of course, you know, Neville defended it. And, you know, then there was the you know, this year's annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. You know, there were surprises. You know, we thought, you know, Luke Harper or Braun Strowman would win Big Show, but all those guys, you know, they got eliminated really early, especially Braun Strowman and Big Show. I mean, that was a surprise. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, who's going to win? I was thinking maybe, kind of cross my mind, maybe Mojo Rawley might be there since, you know, he's buddies with Rob Gronkowski, you know, from the Patriots. And you know how WWE loves to have interactions with superstar, you know, celebrities and you know, sports figures. So, you know, Mojo Rawley basically got the victory, you know, the biggest victory in his career. You know, he formerly was a tag team with Zack Ryder,
mm-hmm.
who I believe last year he had his WrestleMania moment when he won the Intercontinental title in a ladder match. So now Mojo Rawley looks like he's going to have a singles career, and Gronkowski, you know, basically interfered in that match against, I think it was Jinder Mahal, if memory serves me right. And basically, you know, he had, you know, Mojo Rawley got the victory. What was your thoughts on, you know, both of these matches that, you know, we talked about so far?
Yeah, the Neville match was pretty good. Whether it was supposed to be on the main, card for the WrestleMania, I don't know, you know. Remember, they're cruiserweights. They're not heavyweights or intercontinental weights. It was a good match. You know, I think it deserved to be on the pre-show. Same thing for the Battle Royal. I thought Braun Strowman would have won it, but, you know, WWE surprised me by having Mojo Rawley win it. And I guess they're trying to give Mojo Rawley a push. I mean, the guy, he has the energy and, you know, starting to develop that fan base. You know, he has a, you know, he's buddy-buddy with, what's his face from the Patriots?
Gronkowski.
Gronkowski, who helped him in the match. So, you know, I think they're trying to push Mojo Rawley. Maybe, you know, eventually he wins the, he goes after one of these major titles, maybe. Who knows? Maybe the U.S. title or Universal, one of those titles, depending on, you know, which brand he go, you know. Currently he's on the, Isn't he on SmackDown right now at the moment?
Mojo Rawley? Yeah, he is.
He's on SmackDown, so maybe, you know, eventually maybe he gets a shot at the Intercontinental, you know. Who knows? We'll have to see. But I think they're going to give him a push soon.
Yeah, and another thing is that, remember, this Monday is the Superstar Shake-Up. So,
true.
Basically, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. People are going to be shaking around. There's rumors that Charlotte and Alexa Bliss might switch places, you know, switch brands, you know, basically trading places, you know. But we'll see what happens Monday night.
Why don't they wait this out for a draft? They should do, don't they do the draft every year?
Yeah, well, it started ever since last year. But, yeah, they're, you know, they're shaking. Like Vince McMahon said on Raw last week, or I should, you know, this past Monday, you know, he's going to shake things up. And, you know, basically this coming Monday, we're going to find out who gets traded, who gets, you know, drafted to which brand. You know, we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. And,
so this is a draft pretty much is what it is.
Yeah, it's another draft that they had like they had last year when they first did the brand split you know again.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're gonna have another draft. So you know, another match that you know that should have been on the you know on the main event of WrestleMania was Intercontinental match, Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. You know, Dean Ambrose successfully defended it. You know, I make no bones about it. I'm a Dean Ambrose fan, you know. But, you know, looking at it as a wrestling fan, you know, unbiased wrestling fan, you know, I thought Baron Corbin was going to win it, you know, so he would have had his WrestleMania moment. And, you know, because, you know, they're always billing Baron Corbin as a future main eventer. And, you know, I thought Baron Corbin was going to go over on that one. But, you know, this match was demoted to, you know, a pre-show matchup. And, you know, basically Dean Ambrose successfully defended his title. And, you know, Baron Corbin, you know, this is his second WrestleMania. And as you remember, last year he won the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. So, yeah, I thought that would have basically, you know, kicked off that full year that he's had, you know, basically feuding with Dolph Ziggler and Dean Ambrose for most of the year. But, yeah, Dean Ambrose, you know, he got the victory. And maybe it being a pre-match, maybe that also had, you know, something to deal with him, you know, Dean Ambrose retaining the title. Instead of saving Corbin's eventual, you know, singles title win in the future in a, you know, main event match.
I mean, I agree with you 100% that this match should have been on the main card. You know, it's an Intercontinental title, man. You can't have that on the pre-show. But
exactly.
It turned out to be a good match. And as expected, I thought Dean Ambrose would retain the title, so it's pretty much expected.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping Dean Ambrose would win, but I thought, you know, they would have gave Baron, you know, they've been hyping out Baron Corbin, so I thought he was going to get that, you know, singles title victory push, but he's going to have to wait another day. And another thing to point out was the match had an awesome finish with Baron Corbin going for the End of Days, his finisher, but Dean Ambrose flipped and reversed it into the Dirty Deeds for the victory. So that was another thing worth noting. And then another thing, you know, there was a rumored six-man cruiserweight match, but they got canceled last moment, you know, I guess due to time constraints. So,
you see, I don't understand that. I don't understand because WWE, they have a two-hour pre-show. They could have fit at least four or five matches in that 2 hour time. You know, it's inexcusable. That's all WWE's fault. I mean, You could have fit
four matches
during that time slot.
Yeah, other than the Cruiserweight and the tag team match, everybody basically fought. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I could have sworn I saw me and you in the Battle Royale. But, you know, I left. You know, I was like, man, I'm not going. This isn't for the heavyweight title. So I just walked out. No one even noticed me. So I left. But with that said, let's move on to the main event. And Shane versus AJ Styles. I mean, we all knew it was going to be a good match. Because, you know, AJ Styles, I mean, he could fight with a broom and he'll put a 5-star match. And Shane McMahon, you know, from ever since the Attitude Era, or even for the newer fans who saw him, you know, in the Undertaker match last year, diving off the top of the cell. It was a really, really good match. I'd say it's a 4-star match. You know, it basically what you thought the match would be. It might even exceed expectations a bit, slightly. I mean, Shane McMahon always fight those hardcore, high flying matches in the Attitude Era, and you know AJ Styles, man. He's phenomenal. He could. You know, perform any match at a high level. You know, a lot of people call him the modern day Shawn Michaels because, you know, he could work with anybody, you know, whether it's a giant or a cruiserweight, and have an awesome match with him. But it was a real good match, you know. What's your thoughts?
Man, you said the 4-star match. Man, that match was probably the best match of the night, I think. I mean, what match was better, John Cena, Nikki Bella?
Nah, definitely not the John.
Brock Lesnar match? Randy Orton? No, that was the best match of the night, by far.
I would say Brock Lesnar and you know, Goldberg match.
It wasn't better than AJ Styles.
It wasn't better than this. It was very good, but I wouldn't say it better than this.
Yeah.
I'll go more in depth, you know, later about the Goldberg-Lesnar match. I thought Shane and Styles match was awesome, but it was a very good match. I mean,
what match was better than that? I mean, come on, there was no match that was better than that. That match itself. I mean, you're talking about Shane McMahon with the move off the top rope. What's the move called?
I forgot what it's called, but he always does that. I mean, it was awesome.
He tried to do the foot. It has a name of it. I forget the name. I've never seen him done that move. It was like a human cannonball.
No, he does it all the time.
Really?
You know, when he dives.
He does it like that?
When he dives from one ring to another, and he slams his foot into the trash can to someone's face?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the cannonball flip that he did off the top rope.
Oh, are you talking about the shooting star press? The shooting star
press?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yes, you're right. You're right. You are right. That
I was like,
true.
That's insane.
I totally forgot.
Sick.
You're right. I did forget about that. You're right. That was an awesome moment. I was not expecting that. I thought he was going to do like a flying elbow drop.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, it is probably the best match of the night. I mean, I did enjoy the Jericho Owens match. I mean, other than the end result.
Yeah.
Let me quickly look at some of the matches.
I can't think of any match that was better.
Tag team match was really good too.
Tag team match was good. Yes.
You might be right. It might have been the best. That one and the tag team matches. And I'd say the Jericho match were the three best matches of the night.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But yeah, let me see. What was I gonna say? But yeah, speaking of Jericho, you know, Jericho and Owens, you know, they have that great chemistry, you know, on the mic and in the ring, and they had a great match, you know. But you know, Kevin Owens, you know, he got the victory. You know, he hit that power bomb off the, the ring apron, and you know, basically, you know, the feud ended the way you didn't think it was gonna end. You thought Jericho would finally get a storybook ending, but Jericho, you know, he's a veteran that, you know, that truly understands the business, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you got to let the young guys go over. Even though, you know, Kevin Owens, he is a veteran, you know. He's been fighting in different places all over the world. But, you know, he's been in WWE for a few years. So, you know, he did the job for Owens, and Owens went over.
Yeah, I thought Jericho was going to win this match as redemption, but I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jericho's going to have to, you know, wait to finally get a win against his former best buddy.
Yeah.
Maybe
at
SummerSlam even.
If this isn't the end of his career, which right now it doesn't look like it, but then again, Jericho's always said that when he retires, he's just going to ride off into the sunset, and people are not even going to know, expect when it happens.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I assume he's going to come back eventually. So, like you said, maybe SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But, you know, a very good match, you know, as expected, between Owens and Jericho. And the women's four-way match, Bayley versus Flair versus Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax. It was a decent match. You know, it was good. I mean, the only thing I thought would have been better is if Charlotte was undefeated at pay-per-view event and Bayley would have won the title for the first time ever, other than, you know, defending it. I thought, you know, other than that, I mean, it was a good match, and it was also great to see them tag team against, they all, you know, triple team Nia Jax to eliminate her, you know, which made a lot of sense, since Nia Jax, you know, physically wise, you know, she's the bigger threat. But you know, all in all, you know, it was a great match. You know, by the last time all four of these girls are gonna fight each other, you know, for a while, you know, with this upcoming draft split.
Yeah,
what's your thoughts on the match?
It was a good match. You know, I actually thought the SmackDown women's match was better than the Raw match. Sorry, I thought that was a little better, but still a good match. But I was expecting Charlotte to regain it, but you know, guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I thought Charlotte would regain as well. I thought Charlotte would regain because you know, they're branding Charlotte to be like the greatest woman wrestler of all time. So I thought she was going to win it again.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, this would have been the perfect, like I said, just said, this would have been the perfect time to make Bayley, you know, finally a woman's champion, you know, but, you know, it's a great win for her. You know, she defended the title, which is more, I could say, you know, than a SmackDown champion, which I'm going to get, you know, in a few minutes. The Raw tag team match, title match, it was a triple threat, but as we all know, it turned into a fatal four-way. It was Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson versus Enzo Amore and Big Kaz versus Cesaro and Sheamus.
Now, this match probably,
you know,
should have been on a pre-show, probably, but because of the Hardy Boys,
yes,
I guess they had to put on the main card.
Yeah, you had, come on, the Hardy Boys, you had to, with the Hardy Boys surprise, and, you know, I assumed New Day was going to insert themselves in the match, which what I would have done if I was them, I mean, if it wasn't scripted.
New Day?
If I was the New Day, I would have made it a fatal five-way and try to get my title. But
yeah,
it was, you know, a pleasant surprise seeing the Hardy Boys, you know, tag team for the first time in 7 years. And it was, you know, the Hardy Boys probably got the biggest pop, you know, the whole night. I mean, with the exception of The Undertaker, you know, what happened at the end of the match, you know, obviously we'll get into that also. But, you know, the Hardy Boys, man, they really stole the show.
Oh, yeah.
they stole the show and Gallows and Anderson's title. I mean, you know, congratulations to those guys. So, you know, I was, you know, they really put that title, they really put it over the top. You know, there were some shades of WrestleMania 17, TLC match. You know, Jeff Hardy at the, what, I think he's like 39 years old, still doing Santan bombs, you know, on people, you know, through a ladder. I mean, it was incredible. Their return, you know, right now is being treated a lot better than the Dudley Boys. You know, we thought for sure Dudley Boys would have, you know, got a title reign during their reign last year. But, you know, WWE, you know, that was also during the New Day reign.
Right.
But yeah, you know, but yeah, it was a great match, and you know, congratulations to, you know, man Jeff Hardy. And
yeah.
Right,
people
as
are wondering
right
now that.
Like...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were talking about the broken.
Like if people are wondering whether or not they gotta, the Hardy Boys are gonna stick to their broken brother Nero gimmick that they had in TNA
and Ring of Honor also.
Ring of Honor, yeah. So
and now the Hardy Boys, they're like the first. I'm sorry, continue.
I was saying, I don't know if WWE can attain the rights for them to keep those gimmicks, but we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and I'm hoping WWE, you know, basically maybe they still have the gimmick, you know, they can use the gimmick, but they're just doing it gradually so that the fans, you know, the WWE fans who only follow WWE, you know, they'll see him gradually progress into the broken gimmick, you know. Because there was, like, a Twitter message he sent, like, the applause from the WWE fans cured his condition. And, you know, he might, you know, he hinted that maybe his you know, broken gimmick might be Savage. Or, you know, he even hinted that his condition, if his condition can be contained. So he kind of hinted that maybe, you know, his broken condition might return, or maybe even renamed as Savage. But time will tell. And now the Hardy Boys, they became like the first team, like, you know, within a year, maybe even within a month, you know, winning, you know, multiple titles. They won, what was it? I'm trying to think. Ring of Honor. And then they lost it. They lost the title the day before WrestleMania. And then now they got the Raw Tag Team title. So congratulations to these guys.
Congrats. Yeah. And, you know, going back to Matt Hardy's broken gimmick, I heard that the reason that he developed the broken, he became broken, was because Leader cheated on him with Edge.
Oh, wow.
I'm kidding. That was just a joke.
Well, yeah, that happened a long time ago. That I think about it. That was like a decade ago when Edge was rated our superstar when this happened. You got me, man. I'm thinking like, wow. You mean that he had that idea from all the way back then?
That would be funny.
But yeah,
though.
You got me. You really got me though. Again, congratulations to the Hardy Boys. And another congratulations go out to, sure, Cena and Nikki won, you know, and, you know, obviously congratulations to them, you know, to Nikki, you know, and John Cena finally proposing to Nikki after, you know, they defeated Miz and Maurice. But another congratulations, you know, is something we never usually do. Even though Miz and Maurice lost, but, you know, congratulations to them. You know, they really committed to that Cena and Nikki gimmick. You know, they really knew how to imitate them with the total diva spoof, and you know, imitating Cena and Nikki. I mean, it's been really hilarious, and their vignettes, it was hilarious. But as we all know, John Cena and Nikki were gonna win. So what was your thoughts on the whole match and, you know, the proposal?
Yeah, I mean, I expected John Cena and Nikki Bella to win. I didn't expect the proposal at the end. Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, I guess John Cena finally decided to man up and propose to his his girlfriend of they've been dating for a while now too, right?
Yeah, a long time girlfriend.
5 years or something.
For a while. At least 5 years.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
So let's see how long that lasts.
Yeah, well, congratulations to both of them, and as expected, Cena and Nikki won. So we'll see what happens with them in the future.
Yeah.
And moving on, Seth and Triple H, man. Basically what happened was supposed to happen. Seth Rollins defeated Triple H. I mean, it was a good match, but it was way too long. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you know, Triple H had the awesome intro with that motorcycle, you know, vehicle he had with Stephanie. You know, Seth Rollins, had the torch, like if he was in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he took the torch that Triple H was supposed to pass to him, but I don't know what that torch was supposed to be symbolic of. But it was a good match, but it was it was a little too long in some points, but it was a good match. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a good match. You know, Seth Rollins got his revenge, defeated Triple H. So I want to see if that feud between him and Triple H and Stephanie continues, or if he can finally move on and, hey, maybe he even goes to SmackDown. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more to the feud. I mean,
yeah, it should be over now.
Finisher. I mean, and so he won. I mean, I was surprised that Samoa Joe didn't interfere, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know what? Yeah, maybe next match is him versus Samoa, maybe.
Probably. Because I think they were supposed to fight each other at the pay-per-view before that. It was a Fastlane, but he was hurt. So
right.
He couldn't have the match.
Right.
And here's to me which was the most disappointing match of the night. I don't know if you could read my mind, because you read my mind when I was talking about the broken Matt Hardy thing.
Randy
Can you
Orton?
Guess which match was the most disappointing match? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You guessed right. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. My goodness, man. What a failed opportunity to build up Bray Wyatt as a legitimate main event champion. Randy Orton played him like a cheap fill throughout this whole feud.
Yep.
You know, I mean, come on, Bray Wyatt. He finally won the title Elimination Chamber, and I was hoping, I'm like, okay, finally he got the title. Let's hope that they, let him run with the ball for a few months and maybe drop it at the very earliest SummerSlam, or maybe Survivor Series, or at the latest WrestleMania. But dang, man, they let him lose the title after, like, a month after getting it, or a month and change after getting it, and the whole feud was so stupid. Don't even get me started on the whole worm subliminal message pyro video thing that they did during the match. I mean, the only way it would have worked is if it would have actually affected Randy Orton to the point that he would actually lost.
Yeah, he wasn't even paying attention.
I mean, that was just silly. It was so silly. It affected him, or early on, he ran out of the ring. But, it was, like, silly. It was just so silly, man. The only way it would have worked if Randy Orton, you could have, like, rationalized and say, okay, maybe this is part of Bray Wyatt's brainwashing stuff that he does in his compound, and Randy Orton wasn't expecting this, so he literally had the upper hand that Randy Orton wasn't expecting to see, and that cost him the match. I mean, and it just shows how the whole feud was leading up to it. Randy Orton pretend to be his you know his follower, which Bray Wyatt should have, since he's supposed to be supposedly a god, he should have saw this coming. And another thing, you know, him infiltrating his group, which Luke Harper warned him from the get go, but yet Luke Harper tag teamed with him this past Tuesday night and didn't seem to have any problem with him, which that was weird within itself.
Yeah.
But the whole Randy Orton thing, he had the title shot. He didn't have to – he won at Royal Rumble. He didn't have to go through all this stuff. He didn't have to burn Sister Abigail's, you know, remains, you know. And then afterwards, every time they did something, they outdid each other. Okay, I burned Sister Abigail. Next week, Bray Wyatt's like, oh, you know, it's nothing. You know, you made me stronger. Sister Abigail's in me. And then Randy Orton comes on and, you know, basically, it's like every week they always outdid each other. It was like nothing that they did. Everything negated everything. You know, he burned the remains of Sister Abigail. Then Bray Wyatt took the Abigail's remain and rubbed on his face. Then Bray Wyatt, you know, I'm trying to remember. There was like so many different stuff that messed up this whole storyline. And then Bray Wyatt kidnapped him and put some weird crucifix-looking thing, demonic crucifix-looking thing on him. And then the week after that, you know, Randy Orton put it on the ground and basically negated everything that, you know, Bray Wyatt did. So basically it put everything back at square one. And the main thing was Bray Wyatt was supposed to be over. Bray Wyatt's supposed to be the villain. Bray Wyatt is supposed to be this unstoppable force that, you know, Randy Orton as a good guy should be worried about. But as we all know, Bray Wyatt, every time there's a main event, pay-per-view event match, he talks a big game, but once the bell rings, he always gets his clock cleaned and, you know, he loses the match.
Yeah.
So WWE just killed one of the best gimmicks they had, you know, since creating Undertaker. And he's a joke. He's a utter joke, man. Well, what did you think about this match?
Yeah, it didn't meet the expectations, you know. And, you know, I thought the visual images that you were talking about of the cockroaches and worms, that was pretty weird. You know, they didn't seem to affect Randy Orton, so I don't know what the point was, but
gosh.
I did expect Randy Orton to win the title, you know, but I do think Bray Wyatt's going to get it back, you know, maybe at SummerSlam, maybe.
Eventually.
Yeah, I think eventually he'll get it back. But, yeah, I mean, the match itself didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah, and supposedly they're supposed to fight each other in a ring of horrors, a house of horrors, or whatever gimmick it's called. I mean, come on, man. They just really ruined Bray Wyatt's momentum.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a joke. It was just, that whole feud was a joke. It had so much potential, and, you know, it was just, WWE just really dropped the ball on that one.
And Bray Wyatt is winless at WrestleMania now, right?
Yeah, 0-3. He's a reverse Undertaker.
Yeah.
and then Universal title Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. I mean, this is probably Goldberg's best match since his return. I mean, the first match for SummerSlam, he had the element of surprise on him. You know, some people were upset with that, but, you know, I accepted it because I'm like, okay, it was a moment because you didn't expect Goldberg to, you know, win, much less to, like, squash Lesnar. I mean, Lesnar's never been squashed in his career, so that was, like, an epic moment. Like, right up there with Cena getting Suplex City 16 times,
Suplex,
you know,
City
at that SummerSlam a few years ago. So, you know, it was a – I mean, I knew Brock Lesnar was going to win because Brock Lesnar was going to remain with the company, and this was supposedly Goldberg's last match, even though Goldberg, you know, after Raw hinted that, you know, you never say never. But, yeah, it, you know, basically Goldberg took 10 suplexes, and, you know – Brock Lesnar leaped over a spear. I mean, it was a great match. I mean, it was even better than their WrestleMania match they had in 20, which isn't saying much. But it was short, but sweet. So, you know, I congratulate them. And it was way better than that 22-second Kevin Owens title match.
Yeah. I mean, this match this match was much better than their last two. And you know, I think it was too much spears and suplex city in this match.
Mhm. And then you had the women's match. It was a good match. You know, congratulations to Naomi. You know, she's a 2-time champion. She had to relinquish the title due to injury. But you know, she got to win the title, you know, in her hometown, Orlando, which not a lot of superstars get to do. Not even The Rock ever won, you know, a championship, a heavyweight championship, you know, at WrestleMania. So, you know, congratulations to her.
You ever had those trolls, do you remember those troll toys that could glow in the dark?
Oh yeah, from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Naomi reminds me of.
I heard
like those troll dolls that can glow in the dark.
With the glowing in the dark.
Hair, yeah.
Maybe that was her inspiration.
Maybe.
But congratulations to her. Lastly, Undertaker versus Roman Reigns and what, you know, should be the last match of the Dead Man. As expected, Roman Reigns won. You know, he basically retired Undertaker, as it seems. But the most important thing is after the match, Undertaker, you know, he hanged up all his stuff. He literally left everything on the ring, his hat, his coat. He kissed his wife, Michelle McCool, you know, which he broke character. He never does that. And, you know, that's the end of an era.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew Undertaker was, you know, going to retire eventually, but just seeing him potentially, most likely retire. It's kind of sad to see. And, you know, unfortunately, I would have loved to see Sting and Undertaker fight. I would have wished they had their last matches together. You know, they both would have retired. But I understand, you know, Roman Reigns is, you know, the next big thing for WWE. They're forcing him down everybody's throats. And basically, he did a typical put the young talent over and, you know, move on to the sunset. So the match is what it was, you know. Had some, you know, cool moments, like the spear through the table and you know, it had some high spots. You know, of course, you know, doing finishers and people kicking out of it, which is, you know, very popular in the Attitude Era. And now, you know, ever since Cena and The Rock returned, especially WrestleMania 29, it's been really the soup du jour, you know, in WWE now. Everybody has to break out of finishers nowadays. But I mean, it was a decent match. It could have been better, but you know, it is what it was. What was your thoughts?
I thought it was a good match. You know, you knew that Roman Reigns was most likely going to win, and this probably was going to be Undertaker's last match, and it ended up being that, with him losing to Roman Reigns, and then at the end, him leaving his hat and jacket in the ring. And yeah, I mean, it's Undertaker, you know, been in WWE, what, for 18 years, something around there, and you know, he's had a great run. Not 18 years, sorry.
No,
27
years.
Yeah,
1990.
27 years, and he's had a great run, especially at WrestleMania where he finishes what 16-2 or something.
No, 23-2.
23-2. You see, I miscalculate, but yeah, I mean, he leaves behind a great legacy, and you know. He's one of the great wrestlers, and soon he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And shifting gears quickly, you know, the so congratulations to you know, UNC winning their sixth ever UNC title. And basically, you know, they won by the final score 71-65. Gonzaga lost in their first championship tournament final. And you know, congratulations to both teams getting this far. And
yeah. I thought Gonzaga was gonna win, but UNC proved me wrong.
Yeah, I was hoping Gonzaga would win their first toss and say they're underdogs, but you know, not to mention they had the better season, 37-2, which, you know, UNC was 33-7, but you know, once you get to that last game, anything is possible. Mm. So congratulations to UNC winning their sixth ever NCAA tournament championship. And last but not least, MLB, you know, Mets won, you know, they won 2 out of 3 against against the Braves. You know, Syndergaard, Harvey, and DeGrom pitched well, but unfortunately, Wheeler didn't pitch good on Friday night. Saturday evening, I'm trying to remember his name. A gentleman, he pitched decently. You know, he went 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, but he got the loss. Mets lost 7-1, so Mets are trying to rebound. And then the Yankees are 4-1, and you know, they've lost to the undefeated Orioles. Orioles are 4-0 right now as we speak. Yankees are going to try to win that last game. And what's your thoughts on both teams quickly before we leave?
Well, you know, Yankees, you know, they've lost that 2 out of 3 in Tampa. They've lost the first 2 games of this series in Baltimore. You know, Yankee fans have to be patient right now. You know, pitching Tanaka, he's not pitching well in his 2 starts. Offense has to do much better, but you know, it's a rebuilding process. So, you know, Yankee fans have to be patient, and it looks like Gary Sanchez got injured today. Hopefully it's not serious.
Oh, yeah, right. I saw that, yeah. Hopefully he gets better soon.
Yeah, hopefully he gets better. So, yeah, I mean, right now Yankees are 1-4. I mean, it's not the start that we
right.
that I wanted them to get off to. But, you know, again, it's still early in the season, and, you know, and we're in rebuilding mode, so we got to be patient with this team.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show. And hopefully next week, Mets and Yankees will do a lot better. I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.